This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
You want to impress me? Today's not it. You know what would impress me? Tomorrow, if you bring out the aliens.
Chiellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, and a good Monday afternoon. That eclipse is a-coming. The noon hour, rain or shine, brought to you by Wade Ford. At Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, you'll discover great prices, flexible finance options, and our top trade-in values, and even more when it comes to mobile service. Like we said, Wade Ford, bringing you the hour of 12 o'clock. So what time is it officially supposed to hit the city of Atlanta?
I don't know.
1:45, I'm being told.
I got other things I got to think about.
I got
a
you.
A lot of other things. I don't know what's going to happen. I heard the game was going to be canceled tonight.
No, that's what I heard. I don't think that's true.
That's so crazy.
People trust you, Domino.
I know. Do you know that we already know when the next one is coming? Again, there's no mystery with this. I know why it happens. We know when it's going to happen again. God bless you if you want to get in. You want little kids to see it and you want to do science class because of it? Great. I'm all for that. I don't need you, the guy who didn't do very well in school, explaining any of this to me. And I'm sorry. Thank you. For the ones who got it, the sun god Ra. Yeah. If I was born at a certain time and we were all together not doing radio, just throwing rocks at each other, trying to get away from animals to survive, if this happened and I looked up at the sky, I would think it's a big deal. It's not unless you turn it into what hopefully becomes a learning experience for kids.
A special and surprising award goes to this Falcon. We'll talk some NFL in about 20 minutes or so from now. The Braves on Friday didn't have a lead until they won the game on the walk-off hit by Travis d'Arnaud in the 10th, and they trailed on Saturday for the first seven innings. But let's go back to Friday. Spencer Strider got knocked around. His last pitch was, what, 93 miles an hour?
Yeah, it was in the 94 range. And now there was a little bit. He felt discomfort. When did he feel it? He wasn't there in the building. He was not gonna have an opportunity to answer any of those questions. He was gone, as we like to say.
But that four-seam fastball that he threw, 93.8 miles an hour, the second slowest fastball of his career. And because of that comeback, in passing at the end almost, everybody forgot, as you said earlier, about Spencer Strider. In passing, it seemed, Brian Snicker, right at the end of his post-game press conference, said that, yeah, Spencer Strider has an MRI on his elbow tomorrow, as in Saturday, because he said this on Friday. And everybody said, wait a minute, what? And then the press conference was over.
Yeah. Yeah, they said what they had to say. It was said out loud, from what I understand. Anybody have a question about Spencer? Hey, how's Spencer? And then Brian Snicker did that, and he got up and left. And then I was there Saturday when it was damaged. That was their word they used. They said, we're going to release a social media statement. They used the word damage. Then the word sprain was used yesterday. So I don't know how often the word is going to change. Is it semantic? Sure it is. Is it, again, much like the eclipse, please don't turn into a doctor and tell me what it is you know about Spencer Strider. He's had one.
This would be his second in 5 years, in fact.
Yeah. So now everybody wants to get into. Now, can I play guilty? I'll raise my hand. I'm guilty. Want to know the... Other than, damn, that was my first thought. Damn. You know what my second thought was?
Just one of them things?
Nope. I thought curveball. I wonder if him actually, you know, throwing a curveball might have actually caused a problem, because it might have caused a problem. There have been pitchers, forkballs and other things that other people have said, oh, you know, my elbow kind of hurt after that. I don't know, but I did think it. I'm not telling you I'm right, but it was literally right after damn. First thought I had is, oh, what about the curveball?
So you got guys like Shane Bieber. You got guys like Yuri Perez. And even a guy like Shohei Ohtani getting the UCL surgery because of the fact, well, nobody really knows the how and why of it. But because we're out there and we're in the, as a wise man once said, the opinion business, everybody's putting forth their opinions.
We have to clear one thing up, though. The reason it's UCL, Tommy John surgery is on the UCL. And usually now it's a tendon at another part of your body. They don't want to have a donor problem where it's there's a chance for a rejection. They'll usually go in and get a tendon out of your own body. But in case you're wondering what Tommy John is done on the UCL. It's a replacement of a ligament that gets torn with a tendon. Yeah, I know it doesn't seem. They don't want another ligament. They want something stronger. It's called a tendon. So that's what it is. Tommy John and UCL are linked that way because that's what the surgery is on.
So yeah, Brian Snicker, thanks, Joe. Brian Snicker yesterday was asked about why he thinks this is happening more prevalent.
Well, they're throwing harder than ever and spinning the ball more than ever, and I hate it for everybody concerned because, I mean, that's the biggest thing we have in our game, man, is the pitching. And I have a lot of opinions on it. I just, you know, it's kind of see a lot of guys going down. I know that.
So is it Joe Rogel? Am I pronouncing his name right? He's a writer analyst. He put together this information. He said there were 28 major league pitchers who had Tommy John surgery in 2023, 26 in 2022, the year before the pitch clock was instituted, and 32 in 2021. So is there necessarily a correlation between the pitch clock, which is what Tony Clark from the Major League Players Association is saying, and Tommy John surgery and or arm injuries by pitchers starting and relieving?
Right. Okay. You might tell me too small a sample size since the clock came in. And sometimes it's buzzer's luck, and sometimes it's a guy's mechanics. So, no, I just think the idea that Major League Baseball and the Players Association are going to fight about this one right in front of the kids. I mean, they're going right to the middle of the cul-de-sac. They're both releasing statements about what the other one has said out loud. Why? Why do this? You don't know the answer. It's like I always say, Billy Beane, you don't know. You've had your chance. Now it's my turn. You don't know. But I will tell you what I do know. Take it from starting pitchers to relievers. There was a kid named Mason Miller. You wouldn't know his name. You want to know why? Because he pitches for the A's. He threw in two innings 14 pitches that were 100 miles an hour up. So what did I say yesterday? Schedule the surgery. I don't know if I'm right about that. Maybe he's going to be one of the exceptions. Schedule the surgery. Brian Snicker, I was there on Saturday. That was a Saturday statement. And he said, we edited it a little bit, but he said, yeah, I got some thoughts, but no one really cares. So I followed up with, I said, why wouldn't anybody care about a guy who's been in the game for 45 years, what you think? And then he elaborated a little bit. He said, this is what he thinks it is. I'm going to go with, it's kind of crazy, I'm going to say this, but Tyler Glass now, thank you, because this is audio from a couple of few years ago. This is when he's in Tampa. So I'll let him say this. There were three cuts. I don't know which one we have, to tell you the truth. But I'm also going to offer up something that I absolutely know that we talked about years ago, and I can't figure out how, when we put men on the moon and we send stuff to Mars, we haven't figured one part of baseball out.
Like, substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like, just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is maybe that it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to change. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches. So I now have to develop a new cue. I have to develop something where I can't hold the ball light anymore. I have to dig it deep into my hand.
And Trevor Bauer was the beginning of this as well. You don't want to hear his name if you're a big Trevor Bauer fan, but he was the one who talked about it with baseball. Why are we doing this? All right, here's what I would say. Do you know when the first rosin bag was used in professional baseball?
I do not,
Take
sir.
A guess. You're so good at the numbers.
I know. Then. I'm great at numbers.
What year do you think it was?
1927.
1887.
Man, again.
So do we have sound?
A massive failure.
The sound that I just asked you for? All right. Play this for a second. If you do. All right. You don't. Do you know when 1887 was?
Before 1900.
Yeah. So we weren't flying. Cars weren't coming off assembly lines. Winston Churchill was 12. FDR was 5, and I could do this for you if you want. They've been using rosin since 1887. They just decided, must be rosin. So we've gone now 140 years. Let's just keep using the same thing. Why? How have we not developed something? What he also said, which was not included in that cut, These baseballs, Delaware mud. Do you know when Delaware mud came into play?
That would be about the same time.
That would be 1950s. Because the family found...
Another epic failure.
The family found mud, and everybody said, well, yeah, well, let's use that mud. And then a few people didn't. It was, well, let's keep using the mud. Do you know what happens to mud when it dries? It turns to dust. You're picking up dusty baseballs in a lot of cases if the ball's been in the back after it's been rubbed up. Why are we doing things from the, hold it, let me figure this out, not the 21st century, not the 20th century, but to the 1800s. Rosin. Nobody's come up. These baseballs have to have stick to them. You can't grip a baseball. It's a solid round rock. And I've no doubt in my mind what that young man just said was, when I have to concentrate on gripping it harder, go grip something and hold it in your hand. Tell me if at a certain point you don't feel it in your elbow.
You do.
You'll feel it in your forearm.
You'll
what is it they say sometimes? Oh, it's only a forearm problem. Oh, wait until they got an MRI and they see there's no ligament there anymore. It feels like a forearm thing, but it's not. How on earth have we gone with the rosin and Delaware mud for this many years when, from a technology point of view, Ford said, let's make cars and put them on an assembly line. Let's make them more affordable. The Wright brothers went to Kitty Hawk and they said, I don't know, man, maybe this flying thing can work. We're still going with things that were used in the 19th century.
So each of the first three pitchers in the StatCast era who has led in velocity, highest average velocity on four-seam fastballs with at least 3,000 pitches, has ended up having Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider would make it 4-for-4.
Uh-huh.
So if you're one of those guys that's atop that list, you're a ticking time bomb, it seems.
Do you know what wasn't around in the 1950s? The Super Bowl, the internet. A lot of things have happened. We keep going to this place in the Delaware River, right outside of New Jersey. Hey, let's just keep getting the mud and put
it on.
So
what you're saying is bodies are changing, technology is changing. Why is this the same?
Baseball has changed.
A lot of people are going to tell you this is the beauty of baseball. Everything stays the same. But to your point, I was going to say the baseball is different.
Of course it is. You're asking guys to go, you're asking them to go fight a fight with one less, and I don't care what anybody says. When a guy who throws 98 says, and he said it at part of one of those clips, he said, I didn't know where it was going sometimes. You think any hitter wants to hear that? Nope. He said, I used it, sunscreen and rosin. They took it away from me because they said he must be getting an advantage. He said, yeah, my advantage was the ability to throw strikes. I knew where the ball was going more often than not. Why wouldn't baseball just institute either a ball that's sticky or a substance behind the mound that everybody goes, we're good? We're good. It ain't rosin anymore. 1887. Like Wyatt Earp was probably 20 years old. He was probably 20 years old.
He was slapping around Billy Bob Thornton.
Right.
Smoke that skin wagon.
That's what 1887 is.
And things seem to remain the same in baseball. Speaking of baseball, let's walk down history row.
There's a lot of history rolling around in Domino's brain. Time to get some out.
Off we go.
It's the Week in Sports History presented by Urology of Greater Atlanta. With locations across the Metro Atlanta region. Visit us online today at UGATL.com.
And we'll focus on baseball. We know what happened 50 years ago on this date. Hank Aaron hits number 715 off of LA's Al Downing, who will join us at 1 o'clock. Give it a listen.
Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
Vin Scully, Dodgers announcer, impeccable as always with the call 50 years ago today. Going to be a special celebration at Truist Park tonight. If you're going to go watch the Braves and the Mets, please, the Braves are asking you, we're asking you, everybody's asking you, please be in your seats by 6:45 for the special ceremony honoring the great Hank Aaron.
And there are things being done around the city today during the day. Dusty Baker, Harold Reynolds, and a few other people are around town doing things. Billy Aaron is around town, and they're all expected to be in the building on time. The Braves hope you are as well.
1994, on this day, Kent Merker throws a no-hitter in a 6-0 win over the Dodgers.
You know what that was? His first complete game ever.
which is
not
crazy.
Even kidding. And he's got two no-hitters because he's a part of another one.
He is.
His first complete game ever was no-hitter.
Yeah, 2008 on this date, Jordan Schaefer, Braves prospect at the time, gets a 50-game suspension for using HGH. And his explanation was about as vague can be. To this day, I don't think he's ever come out and said, I used HGH. You know, I did something, or maybe I didn't do something, but maybe I did do something. Well, you did something. Now we find out it was HGH. He was the guy that you said liked to walk around the clubhouse with no shirt on.
Oh, God, it's a 20-year-old. All you would hear is, put a shirt on, Rook. He was very proud of himself. Very proud of himself. Didn't play a lot of games in the major leagues. He looked like he was different, man. He was a hell of an athlete. Just couldn't put it all together.
1914, on this date in major league history, an attempt to legalize Sunday baseball in Massachusetts is defeated. We ain't playing baseball on Sundays.
Uh-huh. And you know what else? They found a Chick-fil-A.
It's God's day.
Those same people found a Chick-fil-A. So we will not do this on God's
day.
Down the hall. Hey, do you know what else happened in on this date in 1914 in baseball? The guy who found the mud at the end of the river was born. He said, give me a few years. I'm gonna change this game forever.
Let the river flow for a little while, Domino, and we'll put that all over the baseball. It changed everything. Changed the game as we know it.
Speaking of which, 1975 on this day, Frank Robinson makes his debut as Major League Baseball's first African-American manager with the Cleveland Indians at the time.
Didn't he get a home run that day?
He did. Yeah. He sure did on opening day. Yeah. 1987 on this date, Cleveland pitcher Phil Niekro and Steve Carlton, his teammate, they combined to beat the Blue Jays 14-3. Makes the first time in Major League history that two 300-game winners pitch for the same team in the same game.
Yep, and it was amazing, too, because their combined age was 174.
Niekro goes 6, Carlton goes 3 to pick up the save. And speaking of history, when it comes to that number, 300, 1991 on this date, Nolan Ryan and Goose Gossage pitch for the Rangers in a 5-4 loss to Milwaukee. That marks the first time in Major League history that a 300-game winner pitches in the same game as a teammate with 300 career saves.
Oh, nice. Old guys unite.
Indeed. Some of the things that happened on this date in history.
Before we get done today, just if you remember, ask me what I would do if I was an organization in Major League Baseball about pitching. I got to get rid of the mud, the rosin. I got to fix all that stuff. I'm here for you, everybody.
Maybe I'll squeeze that in after we, or before, okay. Perhaps, we talk to Austin Riley.
Just because I think I have an answer.
All right, Austin Riley is scheduled to join us at 1:30. When we come back, a shocking award is handed down to this Falcon. Is it a sign of things to come? Perhaps it is. We dive into the NFL next here on Cellini and Domino. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Don't stare at the eclipse. Don't look at the sun. Put on these glasses. No, my naked eye will be fine, right?
Blinded by the light.
You told me it was going to be fine, and now I can't see.
I don't know why I'm screaming. 1228, Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, The Fan app as well. Appreciate you listening here on a Monday afternoon. 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wade Ford. Tiger Woods going to go for a record. Apparently this weekend in Augusta. We'll get to that story in about 15 minutes or so from now.
Punching it in from the goal line. This is the drive into the red zone.
So Kyle Pitts shared this on social media, Domino. His teammates awarded him with the Ed Block Courage Award, given to a player on each team that's viewed as role models of inspiration, sportsmanship, and, of course, courage. So maybe he was going through a lot of stuff that we didn't realize last year. Maybe that's a great sign with a new quarterback and a fresh start for Kyle Pitts being healthy this year.
Or you just didn't have a lot of people who were challenged on the team and somebody had a win. I mean, what do you want me to do with this?
I mean,
somebody had a win. I'm good. I'm glad. Good.
I'm trying to look at the positive here because, okay, you know, I think that Kyle Pitts is going to have a bounce back year,
sure,
in a big way. I believe.
No problem.
I trust in Kyle Pitts.
Hope it happens. There's different levels of the Ed Block Award, I'm assuming.
I don't think there's different levels.
I don't think so.
I think it goes to each player.
That's interesting.
On each team, and I gave you the definition as to the why.
So DeMar Hamlin, if he won the most courageous award in Buffalo, do you think?
Now you're going to the extreme.
Yeah, because I said there are levels. I don't know what he dealt with. I hope he's better. I'm glad his teammates recognized him as a guy who might have been dealing with stuff. All good. Now it's about football, brother. You can't get the Ed Block Award twice. Let's go.
Unless something happens again and you come back from an injury.
Well, then you
I
know
hope
what,
DeMar Hamlin doesn't get it twice.
Then you know what's not going to happen? He's not going to have the year you think he's going to have.
The Vikings picked up another first-round pick, as we know, in the 24 draft, and their one-time GM, Rick Spielman, says they're going to overpay, but they're going to pay to move up and take J.J. McCarthy. He says he's going to be a good pro. At this point, though, they don't have a choice but to overpay. So add that to the list of rumors and varying opinions when it comes to quarterbacks in the draft.
You read that like there's quotes around it. Like the man just told you they're going to
say it. But, I mean, it sounds like that's just an opinion.
Oh. You read it like it was quotes. Again, shoddy. A little shoddy on your part.
No, there are quotes here. He did say that.
Do you know what I realized speaking of journalism?
Say it with conviction. That's all that matters.
I know. I know how you said it. I realized on Saturday when I went into the Brian Snicker thing that I'm the guy who sits a little bit closer to the back of the class. Because I have imposter syndrome, because those are like Mark Bowman and those guys who write for the paper.
They're there day in, day out.
They're like reporters and journalists. And then me, I'm sitting. Somebody asked me, I put a picture up, and it's an empty dais. Snit's not there yet. I said, you know, we're waiting. And somebody said, why are you sitting that far back? It wasn't for the picture. I always sit that far back because I almost feel like a phony if I go up and sit in the first two rows.
It's funny you say that, because do you think guys that are like there every day look at us that way? Because I'm paranoid anyway. When I show up for like a Falcons deal and we start asking questions, do you think that bothers them? These guys, now they're going to show up and ask questions.
Oh, look, if you show up the day of the tragedy or if you show up the day of the championship, you're entitled to be looked at goofy. For me, though, it's like I shouldn't be in. I don't get one of those two rows. I always move back. I can ask a question. I yell to Snit, hey, Snit, why wouldn't anybody care about what you think? Been in this for 45 years. I have to go a little bit louder.
Yeah, I don't like sitting in the front of the room regardless.
Me neither. That's the point. I've always felt like, oh, geez, that's not where I'm supposed to be. I'll just stay here.
Like if we went to a Falcons deal and D-Led was there and we started asking questions.
D-Led's okay with us. He's okay with me. I don't know what he is.
I think he would be okay with us, but I think that would bother him because that's the custom. He gets to ask the first question.
It's a pleasure to come on the show.
I'm not even sure that happens anymore. You know that? I don't think that's a given anymore. Times change, man. I almost did a... If you look on my Twitter account, you see like the back of like seven heads. I almost did a who is it? Like name who all these people are. Just to see what would happen.
The people that pay the bills, man, by being there every day.
Well, I thought it could get ugly. I thought there were a couple of answers that might come out that were just not going to be what I was intending.
Merrill Hodge, we know that he took shots at Caleb Williams. Maybe he's looking for work again during the Super Bowl week on Radio Row, and now he's doing it again when it comes to Drake May. He says Drake May, Merrill Hodge, is the kind of player that will get you fired.
Hey, he says he's going to get an NFL coach fired, which usually means a GM will get fired, too. He didn't even go far enough.
Hodge compared Drake May to Malik Willis, who was a rookie in 21 and hasn't really developed the way the Titans hoped he would develop.
That's
he's
cool.
He's a backup quarterback at best.
He's calling his shot. You know what he knows? Not all of them can play. He's decided to pick the one that he says is going to be problematic for somebody's future. Somebody's going to lose a job because of this guy. He could have chosen any one of them.
If you had to choose.
He's decided to choose.
Let me ask you this. You're a GM. It's easier to answer the question here in the studio as opposed to really being a GM, but I'll qualify it with that. If you were a GM, are you taking Drake May or Michael Penix? Knowing what you know, I'm taking Michael Penix.
Taking Michael Penix. Taking a shot with either one of them. If you're asking me, I'm taking Michael Penix. What do I know about Drake May? Not enough to really make any more of a valued decision than all of the people who know everything about Drake May.
For what it's worth, Chris Sims has Drake May at number 6 on his list of rankings. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy. He has all ahead.
He's calling a
of
shot.
Drake May.
It's fine.
But as you told Arthur Blank, it's all a crapshoot. We all think we know. We don't know anything.
We could all pick a guy. Look, you want a game? Pick a guy that you think is going to play well. 5 years from now, we're going to say, wow, that was good. Pick a guy that is not going to be either playing or playing well enough to have warranted a top 5 pick. And you might get one right, you might get two right. But you know what you're not going to have? You're not going to have any less of an odd than the people who do this for a living. That's what I keep saying.
Now, that's the reality of the situation. WrestleMania 40 was at Lincoln Financial Field this past weekend. Two Eagles, one former, one current, showed up and helped Rey Mysterio and Andrade beat Santos Escobar and the son of Rey Mysterio, that dirty Dominic Mysterio. They come in wearing Eagles masks, like Rey Mysterio wears a mask. Uh-huh. They've got the Eagles masks on, wearing jeans and no shirts. Uh-huh. And they take off their masks at the end of the match, and it turns out it's Lane Johnson, current offensive lineman, and the retired Jason Kelce. Yeah. Now, it turned out, if you watch again, Jason Kelce did a lot more than Lane Johnson, because Lane Johnson's still playing.
Yeah, you know what his
and
team
there's a contract there, and Kelsey's not playing.
You know what his team can do? Stop payments on the 1st and the 15th.
Right.
Jason Kelce, as long as he stays retired, and I'm not sure he is. I don't know what this guy's drug is going to be. I don't know where he's going to get his high, because WrestleMania is great, but it's like once a year. So what's he going to do the rest of the time? He likes having a high. And I'm not joking about that. By the way, like, if you didn't know who at least one of those guys was, you're an idiot. I knew he was going to be there like 3 weeks ago. So it did big numbers. I guess they sold it out. It did everything it was supposed to do.
As the announcer, you got to sell it, though, right? Pat McAfee almost blew it, and I think they had to slow him down a little bit because the other announcer, I believe it was Michael Cole, said, boy, these are luchadors. These are the biggest luchadors I've ever seen.
Huh.
Because luchadors are usually smaller, like Rey Mysterio is.
Okay, I didn't know that. What's a luchador? What's the definition
of
luchador?
It's a luchador, the high-flying wrestler with the mask.
He's just a little fella,
usually a Mexican wrestler from Mexico.
Okay, but they're usually smaller. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
High flyer.
Luchador, I don't know
that
word.
Can't be a big guy and be a high flyer.
Yeah, I don't know that word.
Won't last long.
Well, it's kind of like in the world of cheerleading. There are flyers. That's actually a thing. And they're usually a little bit smaller, and they chuck them up in the air like 48 feet.
What do you think Cody Rhodes tips the scales at? Is he about 215? You see him next to a guy like Joanna White. Like
he's not a big champion.
In real life, Joanna White will break Cody Rhodes in half.
What do you mean in real life?
Break him in half. I know.
It's wrestler life.
I know.
Listen, it's still real to me, damn it.
Understand. It was real to Cody Runnels at the time when he was at Lasseter High School.
I know.
And he won a state championship. But Joe is a little bit different, okay. AKA Roman Reigns.
You know, none of this matters. The thing that I don't understand is, if you're crying at a press conference after you've won the wrestling title, what, did you not read the script the day before? Why are you crying?
Because you're thinking about your father,
okay,
who never achieved the goal. You're thinking about your father and the sacrifices he made, you know, the Rolex and all that stuff. It's emotional.
Some guys are just
emotional.
And you still had to work hard to get to that point where they said, we're going to put the belt on you.
Right.
Say that.
Crowd has to believe in
you. Thank
you
for saying what needed to be said.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah.
In that regard, it's still real to me as well, and Adam Gillespie.
I know. You can be emotional about it, but you knew this was happening, is my point.
Yeah, you kind of knew that Cody was going to walk away with the title.
What about Georgia in the national championship when they were beating TCU by like 60 points? Were they not allowed to be emotional at the end of that game because they knew the outcome of that game by halftime?
Okay. Do you know what that was? That was a real thing.
But they knew the outcome.
Okay.
That's what you're saying.
Terrible analogy.
Oh, it's not the exact same thing.
Well, you know what they weren't told on Wednesday before that game? That they were going to win the game. That's not what they were told. This guy had a script. He knew what was happening. And by the way, I have no problem. You're thinking about your father who's passed away. You're thinking about your mom and maybe the family. Look, there were family struggles. He sold a Rolex because they were having financial problems. You can get emotional about that. He's probably, he thinks, going to set up his family better than probably Dusty did.
Do you think that Dusty deserves a better statue than what I sent you, though? I mean, I know that his weight has gone up and down, or did go up and down over the years. If you're going to give a guy a statue,
You do, like I said earlier,
a little bit.
About like Gino. You don't want to go to heaven looking your worst.
Right.
I'd like to think you go to heaven, if there is such a place, down the hall, that you go there in your prime.
Down the hall and to the left.
You know, I'm not ripping Dusty. You know,
I know. You already done it.
I have the reputation
you
of a guy that took shots at Dusty. Dusty and I patched things up at the end.
You say that, but nobody really can confirm that.
What I'm saying is Dusty deserves better than that statue.
I would agree with that.
That's all.
I would agree with that.
Now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Retired receiver Jesse Holly called Micah Parsons of the Cowboys the most selfish player on the team, which the linebacker scoffed at. Now, there's another story making the rounds. Sean Sharif of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas said, I've heard it from way too many people this offseason that at least four different people told me that Micah's act has worn thin there.
Okay.
Well, if I'm Raheem Morris,
yeah.
I'm saying
bring
that,
your act here.
Yes. You need a fresh start right here in a Falcons uniform.
I don't even want to give you a fresh. Just bring whatever it is you've got. Bring it here. I'm not telling you that he might not be blustery. There might be a time and place. You can wear out. You're welcome. No doubt about it.
You're welcome here.
I feel
you're
like
welcome
I would,
is nice and fresh here, Micah Parsons.
I would
you
run
can play
to,
anywhere you want.
I would run to Big Lots. I would run to Home Depot, Lowe's. Who else might sell these things? And I'd buy the welcome. And I would put it right there at the gate that has to open up for Micah Parsons to come in a flowery brand.
Listen, you want a first rounder? You want a second rounder? I know I'm a bad negotiator. I'm already throwing out there.
Don't do that.
Whatever you want. Here you go.
I heard he's so bad that the best I can do is give you a fifth rounder.
That's why
he's a bad person.
You're a better negotiator than me.
Speaking of
you
Dallas.
You want all of next year's draft class? They are yours. Yeah, give us Micah Parsons.
And then I'm ripping the phone out of your hands. I'm throwing your phone and I'm smashing it against the wall.
What my colleague meant to say.
So you can never go rogue ever again and make another phone call. The other story out of Dallas, you see what the Dallas mayor was doing?
Yeah, he wants the Kansas City Chiefs to come back home.
I got room.
They were once the Dallas Texans.
I got room. Come on back. Isn't that tampering? Can you tamper with the whole city? I don't know. It just feels like
if you're the mayor, Eric Johnson, you're not affiliated with the NFL. You could say whatever you want.
He says there's a serious opportunity for them to relocate.
For those that don't know, the franchise known as the Kansas City Chiefs started as the AFL's Dallas Texans,
sure
and then
did.
They moved to Kansas City in 1963.
That is correct. All of that is factually accurate. You know what? That happened after the Delaware mud started to be rubbed on all the baseball.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
Another thing.
You cannot dispute that. The numbers there speak for themselves. And Bill Belichick is still involved in football, at least he was over the weekend. His son, Steve, is the defensive coordinator up at Washington, the University of Washington. And I guess in Washington gear, Belichick was up there roaming the grounds over the weekend.
What a pity moment. What a pity moment. Whew. Jeez. All right, jeez. He's just sitting around the house.
He also participated
Let's just bring him up for 3 days.
So get this. He participated in a coaching clinic that the head coach there, Jed Fish, had and hosted for local high school football coaches as well. So you imagine you're one of those big muckety-muck high school coaches. In comes Belichick.
Let me tell you, Bill, I got a few things I want to run by you.
He just walks right through you. Like Ron Livingston in Office Space.
Oh, so you think
walks
he's...
Walks right through his boss.
You think he's...
Gary Cole.
He's nasty about
that. He just walks right through him. Like he's not even there.
Bill, let me tell you what I think you should have done in the last couple of years.
Bill, I think I was... Off he goes.
That's a nice
extra
bonus.
You're like a ghost, man. He doesn't even see you.
It's a nice extra bonus. Now, did he do this, like, what's that show on CBS? Boss Daddy, or where they disguise themselves?
No.
Do you think
Undercover
he, like, pulled
boss?
Off? Yeah, do you
I
think he
think
pulled
he,
out
no.
a wig? And then, you know, the hat that's got a wig built in and a fake mustache and a pillow out from under him. And he said, well, it's Bill Belichick.
I'll tell you this. That would have been awesome if he did.
That's what I would have done if I was
there. You want me to watch that
that's what
show?
I would have done. I would have started to give, I would have done my lecture, my speech, and I would have looked like Joe Dirt, only older and heavier. And then I would have just all of a sudden sprung on him. It's me. It's Bill Belichick.
Speaking of Kansas City, the news goes from bad to worse for Rashee Rice. They found 10.8 grams, less than an ounce, of marijuana in the Lamborghini that he was driving when they had that racing incident, accident, whatever you want to call it.
What did I tell you have to do?
Don't break the law while you're breaking the law.
But clean out the car.
Yeah.
You actually
they had a chance.
No doubt about it. You have too much weed. Because this is me. I won't say I know this as a fact. This is my opinion. They pulled out weed before they skedaddled. But they had so much weed, they forgot where some of the weed was.
Do you think it was one of those deals where, did you grab it? No, I thought you, no. Oh, no.
I'm going to go.
You can't go back now.
Nope. I'm going to go a step further. I think there was so much weed in the car, they forgot where this weed was. They thought they got it all. But that's how I know if what is it I told you? If the cop light, Matt Lear, think about this. I don't think you've ever heard this. You haven't been with us long enough. Don't break the law while you're breaking the law. But if you see the cop lights behind you and you have weed in the car, if you have more weed than you can eat before the police officer gets to your window, you have too much weed in the car. If there's weed in the car that you can't reach to eat, you put the weed in the wrong place. I think there was so much weed in this car that they got what they thought was all of it out, and then it was like, oh, no. Hey, do you know how much it costs? I didn't even do this the other day, to rent the Lamborghini for the day. He was on a day-by-day.
Because he owned the Corvette, but he leased the Lamborghini.
$1,780 a day to lease a Lamborghini. $1,780 a day.
So to me, that's like you said earlier, people are getting in airplanes to look at the eclipse. You've just got way too much money and time on your hands if you're doing something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're different. That's cool. You got more money than most people. $1,780 a day. And now you got to pay for the car because it's got damage on top of everything else.
Yeah, speaking of damaged cars, Tiger Woods knows what it's like to damage a car. He's also looking to set a record this weekend in Augusta. We'll talk about that next here on Cellini and Domino, your home of the Braves. 7:20 first pitch tonight. Ford leadoff show at 6:05. Celebrating Hank Aaron's 50th anniversary of hitting 715. Get in your seats for the ceremony by 6:45 tonight. Or else, and I hate to tell you what that or else means. Domino Cellini, home of the Braves. It's The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, and The Fan app.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required. Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
I guess the sun's going away for a while. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, 145 to 3 o'clock, from what I understand, will be peak clips here in the city of Atlanta. It's all happening.
This is what I'm going to do. While everybody's looking at the sky, I'm going to go rob me a bank. That's what I'm going to do. Everybody's looking up. I'm going to get down on all fours. I'm going to crawl across the street right into a bank.
You probably shouldn't have said that on the air.
Slide one until you said it on the air.
Billy.
The 680 The Fan green card is back. The deal of the year, allowing you to play six of the area's best courses for one low price of $249. Six rounds with a card plus a $25 Firemaker Brewing Company gift card for $249. Cherokee Run, Bears Best, Heritage Golf Links, Collins Hill, Sequoia National, Wolf Creek as well. Oh, that's a $607 value for just $249. Going to sell out fast. 200 cards are going to be on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. at 680thefan.com. Al Downing, as Derek Thomas so astutely noted during his update, will be joining us at 1 o'clock. He gave up home run number 715 to Hank Aaron 50 years ago. In the meantime, Tiger Woods over the weekend, barring a setback, looks like he's preparing to play at Augusta. He is attempting to set a Masters record, Chris, by making the cut for a 24th consecutive time. Breaking rumors. That's true, but the rumors of him being there and practicing there certainly are floating around.
My guess is Fred Couples, maybe Gary Player. He played for a long time, too.
Last year he did, Ty, you're right. Gary Player and Fred Couples at 23. He made that cut last year, but then was forced to withdraw during the third round, the rain-delayed third round after the plantar fasciitis in his right foot did act up.
He looks great. I mean, he really does, short of taking the hat off. Once he takes the hat off, he sort of looks a little bit closer to his age. He's still got that bad thing going on top of his head. But he looks, physically, he looks fantastic. I don't know what that means. Nota Begay, who I think is going to join us maybe later this week, he did say he's got a little bit of a back thing on top of everything else.
And Tiger's been all over the television coverage today. Even Augusta National did post a picture of him playing on Sunday on their X account, and we know how secretive they can be. But like you said, Nota Begay said the lower back is something that is not necessarily going to go away. And if you're going to go there for the actual rounds, Thursday is going to be the worst day, at least as of right now. 55% chance of rain that day, and then sunny, and partly sunny for the rest of the weekend there at Augusta. Although you like to say it all the time, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, the weather forecast.
Yeah, wind is going to be a little bit more important, and then you find out Thursday if it does rain to the level that some people say it's going to rain, and I have no idea what Augusta looks like, what the greens do. You know, what are the greens going to be doing during the rain, and what are the greens going to be doing on Friday?
And also Tiger Woods working with a new caddy for the first time. Joe LaCava, who did help him, is now working as Patrick Cantlay's full-time caddy. Joe LaCava, we had him on the day after Tiger won his last Masters back in 2019.
That's crazy to think about that. Now he's got, is it Lance?
Lance Bennett is the name of the new caddy.
So we'll see working together
how that partnership works. Al Downing will join us
next. What are the odds that Tiger doesn't fire him on the I can't call it the back nine. What am I supposed? The second nine.
Second nine.
Yeah. What are the odds he doesn't fire him right there on the second nine at the 14th?
Right in front of the Patriots.
You get the hell out of here.
I don't see that happening, but it would be great if it did for us because we love content. Hank Aaron became the home run king 50 years ago tonight. Al Downing threw the pitch as he was going for the Dodgers in that game. He will join us to talk about that next here on your home of the Braves. It's Cellini and Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM and the Fan app.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.